The founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message you will hear now, recorded during his earthly ministry, illustrates the firm conviction that whatever the Bible says is so.
My friends, I am bringing you today the 19th message in a series of 52 on what the Bible says. You know, everybody today is discussing the Bible. But you know, they don't discuss it like they used to discuss it. In the old days, they talked about what is said. Now they're talking about how much of what it says is so and what isn't so. The controversy today is right along this line. In the old days, the controversy was along the line, what does the Bible say? And they didn't always agree about that. Because some of them were dumb, you know. And they've always been ignorant people. But they always agreed on the fundamental essentials. They always agreed that the Bible said certain definite, clear-cut, fundamental things. But we're facing today rather dark and gloomy days in the world. And people come to me all the time and ask me questions, and do you think I have to believe this? Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd say you will believe it if you're saved. You have to believe certain things to be saved. No man is going to trust Jesus to save him unless he believes Jesus can save him. I wouldn't trust a doctor to treat me unless I thought he's a good doctor. I wouldn't take a chance on his killing me off, would you? Well, you've got to have a certain faith to be saved. A certain faith. You've got to say Jesus Christ can save a sinner and come to him and trust him as a savior. But you know, I learned something way back yonder years ago. It came to me as I began to study things. I had to learn the hard way. I went out as a preacher as a boy. I didn't know much. Knew a few little things. I read the Bible and tried to preach and tried to say something, tried to get people saved, and a great many people were saved. But there were so many things that used to bother me. But as the years have gone by, I'm not bothered anymore. If I come across something in the Bible that's a little too deep for me, I say, well, I can't get that far along, but maybe I'm not grown up yet. And the Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Maybe I'm not far enough advanced to get certain things, to fathom certain things. But I don't bother about it. If it's something in the Bible that's a little obscure to me, I can tell you sometimes what it doesn't mean when I don't know exactly what it does to me. If I read something in the Bible that looks like salvation's by works, I say, well, it couldn't mean that because it says salvation is not by works, and the Bible doesn't contradict itself. It says, by grace we're saved through faith. All right, now then, there's so many things in the Bible that if we just get down to the fundamental essentials, we'd be all right. But you know the trouble with so many people? They've never been born again. You know, there's a man named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. And he wanted to talk to Jesus. He was hungry. Everybody's more or less hungry for God. Well, you don't know it sometimes. You know, I thought about that prodigal son trying to satisfy himself with the husks of the swine ate over there in that faraway country. But he couldn't satisfy himself. And he longed for the Father's bread at the Father's table. And many people there are trying to satisfy themselves with material things. But they can't do it, you know. Some of them say, if I had plenty of money, I'd be all right. If I had a position, I'd be all right. And material things don't satisfy people. You know, you're going to have to live forever. And you've got to get hold of something to last if you're going to be contented. You can't be satisfied with money because you can't keep it. And it doesn't satisfy you when you do have it. The happiest people I've ever known were not rich people. The most miserable people I've ever known are people who had some money afraid they're going to lose it. The things that perish with their using can't satisfy you. You have to live forever. So this man came around. He was an honest sort of a man, away and to see Jesus tonight. And he began to wonder. He said, there's something unusual about him. No man can do what he's doing unless God is with him. It's one thing to have God with you. It's another thing to be God. A Christian has God with him. That's all right. That's wonderful. But Jesus Christ didn't only have the Father with him and the Holy Spirit with him. He was God himself manifest in the flesh. And Nicodemus said to him, we've talked it over. We've thought this thing over. I've come to the conclusion, no man could do what you are doing if God wasn't with him. Now, you know, most of us have been very much flattered by that, wouldn't we? We said, isn't that wonderful? And then Jesus looked at him and said, say, you can't understand this thing. What's the matter with you, Nicodemus? You haven't been born again, see? You haven't been born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you'd have to be born again. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand how that could happen. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can I be born a second time? Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. You were born by water, that's a natural birth. No question about what it says there. Water doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Born of water. Everybody born to this world, if you know anything about the birth of people, they're born of water. See? All right, the second birth is the spirit. There's no virtue in water to save people. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Baptism can't save people. He said you'd have to be born of the Spirit. You can be born of the Spirit. The Bible makes it plain how we are born of the Spirit. As many as received him, to them gave you the right to become children of God. How am I born again? I received Jesus. I become a new creature. Literally a new creation. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I was when I was a little boy. I found Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old. He put something in there that saved me through all these years. I became a new creation. Now, this new life was put in the old body, which is an earthen vessel. We have this treasured earthen vessel. But except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't apprehend it. See? He can't understand it. The new birth is a necessary thing for you to understand. You can't understand music unless you have some music in your heart. You have to be musical to respond to music. Somebody told me a story years ago of a man that was out hunting one day, fox hunting. And a pack of hounds got on the trail of the fox, and an old countryman said, "Listen to those dogs. Isn't that heavenly music?" Well, he had the bark of a foxhound in his makeup. That sporting life appealed to him, see. So when those hounds went to barking and hit that tree, he called it heavenly music. He had a little dog barking in his heart, you know. I'm not saying against him. I'm just talking about how you respond to things. All right? I've seen people sit sometimes and listen to great music. And I thought it was pretty good music, but I'm not a musician, you know. And I've seen them look so radiant and sit there. And if you even whisper, they run them crazy. You know why? Well, a fellow was playing on a pipe organ, and they had a little organ in their heart playing. See? That's sensible. There's nothing in the Bible that isn't sensible. He said, he that knows God hears us. That's what the Bible says. You hear us, but you have to know God. Poor blind people. We fill our churches with folks that don't know what it's all about. They don't understand. You take a position on something that's scriptural, perfectly clear in the Word of God. And I never take a position unless I know it's clear in the Word of God. For I'm not a great Bible scholar, and I know it. But a thing that's perfectly clear, I take my stand on. For instance, I take a stand on ecumenical evangelism. Way back beyond before World War I, we passed a resolution. Dr. Beedworth and I at Winona Lake, Indiana, the Evangelistic Association. When the evangelism reached the highest heights ever reached in America, we passed a resolution that no member of that association. We had nearly 1,000 evangelists in it. Billy Sunday was living, Tara Chapman, all those men. We passed a resolution that no evangelist would knowingly work under the sponsorship of a man, a preacher, if he knew that man, did not believe in the inspiration of the Bible, the virgin birth, the incarnation, the blood atonement, the bodily resurrection of Christ. We said a man can't be a Christian that doesn't hold these fundamental essentials. If he is a Christian, he will hold them. Believing those fundamentals won't save you. But if you're saved, you believe those fundamentals. I've never known an exception to that case. Well, I've never had any temptation about it. I could work under the sponsorship of a man that didn't believe in the fundamentals of faith if I knew it, turn church members over to him. I couldn't do that kind of thing, see? Why? Well, I got a little Bible in my heart. And the Bible says if I do something in a way that gives Christian recognition to somebody that doesn't hold the doctrines of Christ, I'm a partaker of his evil deed. Well, I'm going back on Jesus. I've become a party to something. And classified the man that don't believe those fundamentals with the man that does believe the fundamentals. Just can't do it, that's all. Wouldn't do it. Why, I got a little Bible in my heart. Word of God's there. All right. Now then, you just can't go along, see. Now, a man has to be born again. And you know something, friends? It's my opinion that preaching for all these many years, someday you're going up to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to look for people, and you're going to be surprised that they weren't saved. You're going to be surprised. Everybody talking about heaven, not going to heaven. You have to be born again. That's what you're born of flesh is flesh. The natural man, born of a natural man, is a natural man. A man who's born of the Spirit is a spiritual man. He has an affinity for the thing. What's that? They that know God hear us. You can go anywhere in this country and get up to preach and keep preaching and give the fundamentals of the faith and be a sensible, reasonable Christian man. And the folks who are born again will respond to you. But if you go to violating the Scripture, they may get confused, some of them, young Christians. They may not quite understand. But if they are born again, and that's a test. I hope to give you a message later on, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Because we need to know that. You bring the word of God in, see. All you've got to do is to take the light of the word of God and turn it on to show things. Christian says, what about this? Well, turn the light on it. What is a light? All right, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And we can do that. We can find out what people believe, where they stand, how they live, and how they respond. Now, how are you going to be born again? As many as received him, to them gave you the right to become children of God, even them believe on his name. What's that? You become a child of God. How? By receiving him. What does it mean to receive him? Believe on his name. What is his name? Jesus. What does that name mean? A Savior. Believing on his name is not believing on him just as a teacher, not just as an example. Believing on his name is believing on him as a Savior. Religion is reliance, the thing on which I rely for salvation. That's my religion. And no man's religion is any stronger than his reliance. So I trust Jesus. I rely upon him. Not trust myself, not trust my church, not trust my baptism. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's able to save under the uttermost, and I receive him as my Savior. And when I receive him as my Savior, I become a child of God. I believe on his name. His name is Jesus, and that means a Savior. And you have to believe on his name to be saved. When you're saved, you're born again. Our Father helped somebody that heard this message, somebody somewhere, to trust Jesus that hasn't been trusted. Maybe meet somebody in heaven someday because of this message. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. If you're interested in an educational institution which stands without apology for the old-time religion, the absolute authority of the Bible, which emphasizes the fundamentals of the faith and has high cultural and academic standards, write to Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Listen next week at this time for another message from The Word of Truth, sponsored by Bob Jones University.